Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 1 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of deltoid, found under the anatomy section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with an introduction to deltoid. The origin of the deltoid is the lateral third of the clavicle, the acromion, and the spine of the scapula. It inserts on the deltoid tuberosity of the humerus. In terms of its action, the anterior part of the deltoid helps to flex and medially rotate the arm. The middle part helps to abduct the arm, and the posterior part helps to extend and laterally rotate the arm. In terms of its innervation, the deltoid is innervated by the axillary nerve, which receives input from the C5 and C6 nerve roots. And lastly, with regards to its arterial supply, the deltoid is supplied by the deltoid branch of the thoracoacromial artery. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to deltoid, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 17-year-old boy presents to the emergency room after colliding with another player during a rugby game. Another player ran into him and he fell to the ground and felt his shoulder pop. He immediately felt intense pain and was unable to move his right arm. He has no other significant medical history and takes no medications. His temperature is 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, or 37.0 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 115 over 70. Pulse is 90 beats per minute, and respirations are 16 breaths per minute. On exam, the patient appears to be in pain and is holding his arm slightly abducted and externally rotated. His right shoulder appears deformed with a prominent acromion. He is unable to abduct his right arm, but he can shrug his shoulders with pain and extend his wrist and fingers against resistance. Which of the following nerves is most likely injured in this patient? And the answer choices are: choice 1, axillary nerve; choice 2, long thoracic nerve; choice 3, musculocutaneous nerve; choice 4, radial nerve; or choice 5, spinal accessory nerve. The best answer to this question is choice 1, axillary nerve. This young man with a history of shoulder trauma who presents with pain, visible shoulder deformity, and an arm held abducted and externally rotated likely has an anterior shoulder dislocation. The most likely nerve to be injured in this type of injury is the axillary nerve. Anterior shoulder dislocations are characterized by a complete displacement of the humeral head out of the glenoid and are often due to trauma during contact sports or falls. Patients with an anterior shoulder dislocation present with pain and visible deformity of the affected shoulder. They may hold their arm abducted and externally rotated to relieve the pain. Axillary nerve injury is often present since the nerve passes directly beneath the glenohumeral joint capsule, making a thorough neurological exam an important part of the workup for any shoulder dislocation. Symptoms of axillary nerve injury include loss of sensation over the superior lateral arm and deltoid weakness, manifested as weak arm abduction. Most cases of axillary nerve dysfunction will resolve with reduction. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 2. Long thoracic nerve injury classically occurs after breast surgery or trauma to the lateral chest wall. Damage to the long thoracic nerve causes motor impairment of the serratus anterior muscle, which manifests as winging of the scapula. Long thoracic nerve injury is not classically associated with shoulder dislocation. Choice 3. Musculocutaneous nerve injury is usually an iatrogenic injury during invasive procedures. An injury to this nerve manifests as a sensory deficit over the lateral part of the forearm or weakness in the cortical brachialis, brachioradialis, or biceps brachii. Injury to the musculocutaneous nerve during shoulder dislocation is rare. Choice 4. Radial nerve injury is classically caused by a Saturday night palsy due to prolonged compression of the nerve over the spiral groove of the humerus. Radial nerve injuries classically present with wrist drop, weakness in finger extension, weakness in elbow extension, and sensory loss over the dorsal aspect of the hand. This patient's preserved wrist and finger extension makes radial nerve injury unlikely. Choice 5. Spinal accessory nerve injuries manifest as weakness of the trapezius muscle as well as weakness or paralysis of the sternocleidomastoid muscle. These injuries are not associated with sensory loss. This patient with preserved sternocleidomastoid strength is unlikely to have a spinal accessory nerve injury. Finally, a bullet summary. The axillary nerve is the most likely nerve to be injured in an anterior shoulder dislocation and may present with loss of sensation over the superior lateral arm and deltoid weakness. That's all for this review about deltoid. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullet Step 1 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the MedBullets Step 1 podcast.